This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Thanks for checking in today, watching the program on YouTube TV, listening on Sirius XM channel 158, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, or any of our stellar affiliates across the country. Busy hour coming up. Bottom half of it, G-Unit, Greg Peterson on the program. His look at tonight's college basketball card and tomorrow's outstanding schedule of games that we have. Also, we'll give you some live betting numbers as USA and Slovakia will pick up in the third period. Right now, 5-0 USA, second intermission. Runaway freight train here, Pauly, as they get ready for the gold medal game tomorrow against Canada. Sunday, that is.
Goalie change as well. So Canada, $1.25 at DraftKings.
All right, so we're going to tie this into some odds that you can find in various places, prediction markets. ESPN today had a story on possible trades and landing spots and then an explanation why it would make sense for both teams for Max Crosby. Again, he signed a three-year, $106.5 million extension last offseason, but then he was unhappy when they shut him down in the final couple of games.
So, multiple reports say he told Carroll and then told Mark Davis, telling Carroll didn't do anything, but then told Mark Davis and Brady that he's done. He wants out.
Mm-hmm. So right now, for him to stay with Las Vegas or to retire is 52%. The Bears are 17%. Here's what ESPN wrote for a potential trade. The Raiders would get wide receiver DJ Moore, a 2026 first-round pick, number 25 overall, and a 2027 third-round pick. Bears get Max Crosby. Does that do anything for you to move the needle?
No. I can't, you know, some of these offers, and you know, kind of reminds me of like 1995 sports talk radio. Guy calls up, hey, can we get a number one, and we'll take you know, Tom Brady. I'll hang up and listen. It's like you got to factor in, guys, that Sauce Gardner just went for two number ones.
Yeah.
This guy's 28 years old. I also think that, you know, the Raiders could be looking at this too if they could save $30 million if they trade him.
Sure,
but if he's unhappy, doesn't want to be there, okay. But certainly if Sauce is going to go for two number ones, and this guy's a game wrecker, what you could get for him, and certainly there's going to be a lot of teams, and the Bears would be a great landing spot, Detroit, the Bills, the list goes on. But certainly it's one of the offers is a number one in George Pickens.
Well, that's what I was going to get to next.
Come on.
Yeah.
Why would I want George Pickens?
And oh, by the way, like, let's be real about this. When you compare the two players and what you said with Sauce Gardner and what he got, and maybe I'm being a little too harsh on this, but I'm like the number one Sauce Gardner hater in the country, evidently. They're not even close. I mean, Max Crosby is such a better football player than Sauce Gardner. You can't even compare the two guys. Now, did the Colts lose their minds by giving up two? Of course they did. That was outrageous for them to do that. But you also kind of set the market for good players who are going to get traded. And Max Crosby, if he gets traded, I mean, I wouldn't blame the Raiders. They would have to get at least two number ones in return for him. Again, not close. Gardner, not same conversation as Max Crosby. And the offer would be to the Cowboys that they put up on ESPN.com, Pickens in a first-round pick, and the Cowboys would get Crosby in a 2026 second-round pick. The Raiders front office would have to be drug tested on the spot to agree to that deal. And the Cowboys are 10% to get him. That's one of the... Come on! Mm-hmm. What are we doing here? Terrible offer.
Mm-hmm.
The Buccaneers... Chris Godwin, yuck already, a 2026 first-round pick and a 2027 second-round pick. The Buccaneers will get Crosby in a 2027 fifth.
I don't want an injury-prone wide receiver.
If you pick up the phone and call me, and I'm like, okay, I'll have the conversation, what are you thinking? Chris Godwin, beep, phone's going down.
Mm-hmm.
You're hung up on.
This really is enticing, though. I mean, you got to be thinking... My God, if the Jets would come in with a Godfather offer, we could trade. How many picks could we get just to give up the number one pick, move down, and trade this guy?
Oh, that would be the dream scenario, and I hope the Raiders would realize that.
I know. This is 50-50. This guy's going to be good.
Sure. Oh, totally. Yeah.
I mean, look at the track record of quarterbacks that go number one.
This is another offer that they presented. Chargers would get Max Crosby. That's it. The one player they would get. No picks. the Raiders would get a second rounder in 2026, that is number 55 overall, a 2026 sixth round pick, and a 2027 fifth round pick. Is that the worst offer of the bunch?
Mm-hmm. And I doubt they trade him in the division, too.
True.
Come on. Yep. Come on with that. This is what I found interesting. Kyler Murray's next team, the Vikings, are the favorites. 23%. Whoa. Tua, Atlanta, the favorite. They're going to cut Cousins. Ryan didn't go to war and go to bat for Penix.
Mm-hmm.
And his, you know, talking about his development. Kyler Murray on the Vikings, is that's pretty good.
He's 23%.
Yeah.
The Jets, 13%. Cleveland is 18%. Atlanta is 15%. Here would be my question for the Atlanta organization. Is Kyler Murray or Tua Tagovailoa better than Michael Penix?
Kyler Murray is.
But is he better beyond, like, next year? Tua's not. Not at this stage of the game.
Kyler Murray with those weapons, though, either in Atlanta or Minnesota, with a great coach in O'Connell?
Yeah. So if I told you right now that I had inside information, I don't, but if I did, that Kyler Murray was in fact going to go to Minnesota, and right now the Vikings can be had at around 60-1 to win the Super Bowl, would you make a bet on them?
After what I saw last year, yeah.
You would?
With the defense, and they still won that many games, even though they got lucky a little bit?
I might. I'm not poo-pooing it at all. I think I might. I might. Would you bet on Atlanta? They're 80-1.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, and over 6.5, yes.
Yeah, in that division.
Oh, yeah.
I think that we need to make a drive to Arizona together.
Yeah.
Because DraftKings is not in Nevada. And the more, when you brought that up yesterday, I didn't even look at the numbers that low, and you said Atlanta was 6.5. Now it's been bumped up to like minus 140, minus 150. Paul, that's worth making a bet a year in advance.
You can be a game manager there. Just give it to Bijan and run the short stuff to London and dump it off to Pitts. I mean, the old man was winning games, Cousins.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and the other one I forgot to mention because we ran out of time. The Browns are 6.5. They're going to win 7 games in that division? Who's starting week one? Sanders 50%, Watson 25. Come on.
Oh,
good luck,
man,
with that. They're going to go 7-10?
Yeah, why would it be 6.5? Because the defense is so good again? Do we think that Monken is an upgrade over Stefanski? And you're right, in that division, you figure, okay,
right.
No Tomlin, first
Where's
time in 20
offense?
Years.
Where are
but,
the pieces? I know, right.
And I guess what are the Steelers going to do at quarterback? That's the unknown yet.
It appears it's going to be Rodgers.
I think it would be as well.
That he's going to work it out with McCarthy and say, okay, I'll come back one more year.
Yeah. Tua doesn't do anything for me anywhere, unfortunately. I like the guy. I wish it would have worked out for him, but I can't get there. Tyreek Hill's next team, Chiefs 51%.
Good, timely. Reed was asked about it today. Says, I know nothing. Buffalo 22%.
That's bad.
Would you do it in Buffalo? I don't know.
Yeah, so
I'd like
that's
how,
the question.
Yeah. I like how the last 2 years have looked with this everybody eats mantra and how the offense has looked since they got rid of Diggs. But you need help at the position. But then this guy coming off a big injury, how much he has left in, and he's a diva too.
What do you think about A.J. Brown going there?
I'd rather have A.J. Brown than Tyreek Hill.
Well, yeah, so would I. Buffalo is only 6% to get A.J. Brown. New England is 24% to get him. Staying with Philadelphia, or they always throw in to retire, is 54%.
Yeah.
Both teams, I think, would make a lot of sense to me. I think A.J. Brown with Drake May would be pretty damn cool. But then are we going to have A.J. Brown and Diggs on the same team? Okay.
Circle back. Will Rodgers retire? No is 62%. He's not, you're going to run it back, don't you think? He won a division.
Yeah. He's
in a good. He's in a good system where he knows the guys and he can lean on the defense. And now, you know, going playing for a coach that he knows well. One more run at
it? I would like to see one more.
I mean, it appears he's coming back and it's going to be the Steelers based on everything you're hearing.
Yeah. I'm totally okay with that.
Why would he go? I saw one thing mentioned. Well, maybe Arizona. That'd be crazy.
No, there's no
That's
point.
That's outrageous.
That,
He'd never do that.
No. No, that would be a waste and the career, how you people would remember that. You probably don't want to do that either. And you're not going to go anywhere with Arizona in that division, obviously. So the Bills, so what's the best solution for them then, a wide receiver? Because they do need to get a little bit better at the position. But also, it's the front office. They blame McDermott, but they were all hot and heavy on Keon Coleman.
They threw him under the bus.
Yeah, they did. And they've done that before with other wide receivers training up to get him, and they can't hit on these guys.
They had enough. As much as I ripped them this season, I mean, they should have beat Denver. Allen gave the game away, and they probably beat the Patriots.
We can't have his entire career go by without him making one appearance in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like, they need to act every single offseason like it's the most sense of urgency of all time. Otherwise, you're going to waste him by not getting to one. Unacceptable.
Mm-hmm. Where are we at here still? All right. 5-0. 15 minutes left. 6.5 under minus 180. I'll make a strong case for a team total tonight over in college basketball coming up. And it's rolling. College basketball's here. Baseball season right around the corner. Perfect time to bet smarter with VSiN Pro. Every best bet, every host, every guest, the real-time DK and Circa betting splits, AI-powered prop tools, 24/7 video, full show replays, our all-new MLB betting guide, which is fantastic. Great job by Burke and Jensen Lewis. Team previews, stats glossary, key analytics to know, sharp betting insight from the experts, and the former MLB pitcher and host, Jensen Lewis. Start today, just $9.99. Save 50% off of an annual subscription. VSiN.com/subscribe. VSiN.com/subscribe. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
Well,
how about that? Slovakia got a goal. It's 5-1 USA, under 13 minutes to play now in this game. 31-15 shots now USA. Updated number, Paulie. USA lane 4.5 goals plus 105. Total 6.5. Now juice $2 to the over. We're getting another one?
You're the coach. Would you pull the goalie? Or you just say it's over, the hell with it?
No, I would make a run for it.
Yeah?
I would. I think...
If there's another penalty, you, why not? Go 6-on-4, pull the goalie?
Sure. It's $2 for one more goal, and we have 12 and a half minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
You want to do this? You want to bet it?
I might have to change my stance from earlier about what is... Here's a breakaway. About what does Finland have in the tank? Nice save. Because Slovakia, this is certainly... some soft goals. I made a goaltending change, but... USA has toyed with them here and given them opportunities with numerous trips to the box. So the bronze tomorrow will be interesting. Now, I do want under 5.5 minus 160 in the gold medal game.
Yeah.
That's the play, I think.
That's the play.
Yep. Under 5.5 Sunday morning.
Okay, so let me give you the numbers here at different books. DK is posting right now. They don't have a number up on the game. They just still have team futures up. It's Canada minus 125, USA plus 105. FanDuel, Canada minus 111. USA, U.S. plus, check that, minus 108. That's razor thin, my man. And then BetMGM has it minus 118 for the Canadians. They just said, we're putting up a 5. Over is minus 130, under is plus 10 cents there. You think 5 is the better number for the total?
Yes. I don't mind first period under two.
How does USA beat Canada? It's Hellebuck standing on his head, right?
No. No way. There's not a big difference here. I don't.
Oh, you don't think so?
No.
So they could win a 6-5 game?
He doesn't have to, no, I'm saying he doesn't have to stand on his head. He can just be Hellebuck and just, you know, be fine. I mean, we've been impressed with Canada so far.
Well, I mean,
they've been
not
lucky the last two games. They were down 2-0 midway through today.
No, I'm trying to.
I mean, this nonsense about go back to the Gretzky-Lemieux team in 87. It's like, you know, and I'd love to talk to Eddie Olczyk too, but this is not this unbelievable, unbeatable team. They've proven it.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a close game. And he doesn't have to be play out of his mind to win. And as I said earlier, and I stand by, and I can't wait to talk to Linda Cohen, who was a goalie. I think if there's a soft goal Sunday, it's more likely that it's Bennington that gives it up than Hellebuck.
Okay. I will point out that you're making the case here for USA then to win a low-scoring game. That would tell me that Hellebuck probably plays a damn good game.
Well, it's also tough. Power play and special teams have been huge here. You know, look what happened in the women's game. You know, Canada gets their only goal shorthanded,
right,
which was incredible. But it comes down to what happens on the power play and also with the injury status with Crosby. But I would think if you stay out of the box, play your game, you're going to be fine and have an excellent chance to win.
I'm intrigued by that -111 at FanDuel on Canada. They do that a lot, different sports. They don't look at, it's not a copy and paste there at FanDuel. If you notice that, like,
I totally agree with Jeff Davis here at Circa. I think they're outrageous, this price and the thoughts of Canada so far. They Circa had it here, and in other spots there were the $1.50 to win the gold before today. And they're down 2-0 to Finland?
Well, they were obviously huge favorites in that game, so hence, you know, assume that they were going to get there no problem.
Go back to the last two games when it's been money time here. You know, they also got the benefit of the doubt in overtime. With the rules, they got a huge edge with overtime being 3-on-3.
Oh, they'll have a...
Because I have to face McDavid, McKinnon, and Makar then.
Well, that's going to be...
I mean, good luck.
That doesn't matter. That's going to be a big edge against USA as well.
Oh, sure. I give them the... Yeah. Yeah.
If it goes to that final period there. Still 5-1,
okay.
Under 11 minutes to play. What do you have for
the
total tonight?
Okay, so this is interesting to me. Our team takes the floor tonight, laying 7.5, Miami, Ohio, 26-0. 5 games left in the regular season. They average 92 a game. Their team total is 81.5. Jordan Scott pointed this out. They top 5 in the country in scoring. They beat Bowling Green on the road, 93-83. They have gone over this number 10 of the last 11. Why is it so low? They're a scoring machine. I think you got to play that on principle, and if you lose, you say so be it.
And
it's a 10-1 overrun. They average 92 a game. They're at home, and they already scored 93 against Bowling Green in a previous meeting.
And their team total is what tonight?
81.5.
81.5, okay. How about a first-half team total over as well? Now, can I give you this? So they're laying tonight, what's the number, 7.5 right now?
Yeah.
Okay. So, undefeated Miami of Ohio by 7.5 or 8, right? These two teams played back. Now, it's been a good month and a half, but they played on December 30th. That game was at Bowling Green. Do you know what the number was in that game?
No, but it's going to surprise me because I know Miami of Ohio doesn't have a great power rating, and you see that they're laying like 1-2 a lot in road games.
I was absolutely stunned.
Were they underdogs?
Were they underdogs? Bowling Green was laying 6.5.
Get out of here. Is that right?
Can you believe that?
Oh, my God.
And the total was 150.5, and it just blitzed right by that, no problem. Like 150.5. What do you got? What? Who are you kidding?
Yeah.
These
guys can score.
Yeah. Hey, Luke, can you look for a first half total team total on them as well? That might be like 37.5 or something like that. Yeah. 38.5 is the number.
Not bad.
Man, maybe split them, do both. I like where your head's at.
Doesn't make sense. It's like, you know, it's like when you listen to Nigel Seeley analysis. It's like, I can't be upset if it loses. I mean, they keep going over that and they average 92 a game.
Game's going back. 86, 90, 90. There's a 73 against Buffalo to stay under.
85, 86, 107, 105, 100, 87, 87.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Now, the other thing is if they win, you got to be feeling good about their chances too. You know, this whole thing, and we talked about it yesterday, they're plus 320 at DraftKings to miss the tournament. But what happens if they stub their toe? And I've never seen this before. They keep winning games, and they don't move off their seed line. They stay in 11 seed. They only have three road games left. Eastern Michigan and Western Michigan are two of them, and they're at the bottom of the conference of the MAC. They get Toledo at home. They close at Ohio.
I'm looking at bracketmatrix.com right now. They have Miami. This is like a combo of like 100-plus bracketologists, and they take the average number. There they have Miami in 8 seed. Miami of Florida.
Okay.
And Miami of Florida is 21-5, I believe. They have Miami of Ohio, not even the top 11 seed on that line. They have them between USC and UCLA. Boy, UCLA. Bruce Marshall's coming on in 40 minutes. He's got an opinion on the Illinois-UCLA game. I can't wait to hear what it is.
Yeah. Throwing an apologize to the kid that he tossed out.
Yeah.
But that goes back to, are we really going to do this? No matter what league you're playing. And G-Unit will be good on this, too. It's like, you're going to go 30-something and one and not get in? Or come on. Compared to the trash that's on the bubble?
No kidding. I'm looking at Bart Torvik right now because he has something up there called the attorney cast, which takes like the average seed line for teams overall. And oh boy, I gotta refresh this because I couldn't even find it at my first glance. He's got the average 11.3 with Miami. And there are several teams on the 11 ahead of them.
It sounds like this is really going to be close. Boy, this is unfortunate.
Well, if they would lose tonight against a team that they beat by 10 earlier, Paul, the narrative...
It depends on the loss. Yeah.
You're plus 320, and them to miss a tournament all of a sudden goes to like even money.
If they enter the conference tournament undefeated, come on. But we've done this before in a little different way. I remember when St. Joe's was undefeated. This is Atlantic 10. Jameer Nelson... Delonte West,
yeah, Elite Eight,
and Carroll kid who could shoot. All the talk was, oh boy, if they lose, we can't give them a one seed.
Yeah.
People couldn't wait to get out of here. Billy Packer, all this, and then they were one play away from making a Final Four.
I think the same thing was with Wichita the year that they were undefeated going to the tournament. If they lost a game, are they going to be a one seed?
Yeah.
And then they happened, the committee gave them, still to this day, I think maybe the most difficult region I've ever seen.
Right. Another good point. I forgot about the Wichita team.
Yeah.
But it's like, you still have to evaluate wins and losses, and it means something that it's hard to win on the road.
Here's something for you.
Look what UConn just did to Creighton. Nothing's a gimme.
So let's say Miami gets into the tournament, and it doesn't matter. Say they're a 10 or 11 seed. Do you think the 7 or the 6 seed will be another, quote, mid-major, or will they be an actually pretty decent team? Like, they'll probably put them against, like, Kentucky and say, Kentucky, get this team out of the tournament. Greg Peterson on the program next. We'll get some best bets for tonight's college basketball card and his opinion on the Michigan-Duke number tomorrow here on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
More college basketball here. Tonight's card and a look at some of the dandies that we have on the schedule for tomorrow. We go out to the Progressive Guest Line. G-Unit himself, Greg Peterson, joins the program. He is the host of the VSiN Coast to Coast Hoops podcast, available everywhere. G-Unit, my man, we were just talking about Miami of Ohio. Paulie was making a case for their team total over in this game. They're currently here at Circa Lane 8. Total is 154.5. I know you wrote this game up today at VSiN.com. Your thoughts here on the numbers?
I did take a shot here on Bowling Green, mainly because I think that this is going to be a little bit of a tricky matchup for Miami of Ohio. Now, I do not think that this is going to be their first loss. I would not be looking at the money line. I set my line at 7, mainly because Bowling Green has done a great job on the road of being able to limit teams from three-point range. They allow opponents away from them to shoot only 31% from three. It's a top 45 mark in the country. They're also a top 50 team in terms of generating turnovers. And the one weakness I have found with Miami of Ohio this year, they don't grab second chances. They're outside the top 275 in terms of percent of their missed shots that result in an offensive rebound. Bowling Green has actually been very good on the defensive glass as well. And I just really like Todd Simon coach teams. It always feels like he gets the most out of his programs. This has been a Bowling Green team that has been tremendously under, by the way. So I did take a shot here on the under. Recognize that Miami of Ohio last time around, they went on the road, got the job done against Bowling Green. But I think that you get a little bit of a closer game. And I think Bowling Green is going to look up the blueprint on Miami of Ohio and try to slow this game down. So I like the under and the points with Bowling Green.
Where you have them power rated? And your thoughts on, would the committee leave out a team that has 30 wins if they have a conference loss or losing the conference title game?
Miami of Ohio, for me, is a top 30 team. I've been finding value on this team all season long. I'm against them here tonight against Bowling Green, but I have found myself probably in like 75% of Miami of Ohio games betting on them. It just feels like the bookmakers have not gotten the number right on these guys, and there's just something to be said about getting the job done. And that's exactly what Miami of Ohio has done. And I know that you guys were talking about what happens with Miami of Ohio if they lose one or two games going into the NCAA tournament. I think that you have to take a look at the human's perspective of this as well. Could you imagine being the head of the selection committee and being like, oh yeah, we put in some team with 13 losses from a power conference and we left Miami of Ohio with one loss out. You have to rename the NCAA tournament to the Power 4, Power 5 tournament at that point. There's going to be so much outrage if you leave them out. In my opinion, you need to still reward wins. Yes, you have to take a look at strength of schedule and everything like that, but it's not entirely Miami of Ohio's fault that they don't have a strong strength of schedule because all the big boys are shaking in their boots because they don't want to play against Miami of Ohio. So Miami of Ohio's strength of schedule, not entirely on them, and I think that that needs to be recognized as well.
Okay, I agree that it's hard for them to get those games as well, no doubt. A team that's on a roll, I was going to sing their praises this week, and then they lost to Rhode Island, but St. Louis has a hell of a team. Probably on the 8-9 line. VCU, a good program as well. Can St. Louis rebound tonight at home against VCU?
By the way, I remember you guys were talking about this. What happens if Miami of Ohio is 11 seed? What happens if St. Louis wins out and they pair up St. Louis versus Miami of Ohio in the first round? Now, that would be insane to say the least, but I love the St. Louis team. I'm willing to lay the number right now, seeing that at 7.5. I felt like this should be a double-figure line because when a lot of people think of St. Louis, they think of Robbie Avila and Josh Hertz. Rightfully so. We remember what they did over at Indiana State two seasons ago. This is a very complete team, though. Like, Robbie Avila is your top scorer. He only gives you like 12.5 points per game, though, because you've got eight different guys that give you over 7.5 points per game. I go back a few weeks ago. They were up against it against Davidson. Their number like 7 or 8 scorer, Brady Dunlap, comes off the bench. He buries like 6 threes. Like, this is a team that gets it from all different guys. They don't have a single guy that gives you over 6 rebounds per game, yet they're a top 25 team in terms of rebound percentage. They do a great job in terms of guarding the three as well. Like, you think of St. Louis being this great three-point shooting team. They're second in the country. They're also fifth at guarding the three as well. Like, this is one of the most complete teams in the country. If it wasn't for a fluky loss, I believe, against Stanford, we'd be looking at them only being a one-loss team as well. Willing to back St. Louis here, made them a 10-point favorite.
Good call by you, by the way. If they put Miami against St. Louis, that would be worse. They really would be.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, so I tell you this. Another marquee game tonight. I don't trust Purdue as far as you can throw them. They're laying 11 and 11.5 against Indiana tonight. Total is 149.5. What do you make of this game?
I feel like this number has gone a little bit too far, especially with the fact that this is an intrastate rivalry. Indiana and Purdue, we all know that there's not going to be a ton of travel for Indiana to have to go up with, and this is one of their biggest games of the entire season. You've got a Purdue team that has been doing a nice job down low, and that's a kryptonite for Indiana. They don't grab a lot of second and third chances, but this is also an Indiana team that has been really good with their interior offense. They're a top 30 team with their two-point shooting percentage, and that's where you can hurt Purdue. Even though Purdue is a nice rebounding team with Oscar Clough, Trey Kaufman-Wren, combining for about 16 or so rebounds per game, this is also an Indiana team that should be able to find some holes down low because Purdue's outside the top 150 in terms of opponents' two-point shooting percentage. With Purdue, they could be a little bit shaky with that backcourt as well. Indiana's not going to put you under duress, generate a lot of turnovers, but I like what you're able to get out of the versatility of Tucker DeVries. Lamar Wilkerson has become one of the more underrated shooters in the country. I think that Indiana's going to be able to hold in there. I I think that this becomes a slog of a game. Purdue, outside the top 275, in terms of total possessions per game. Indiana's been slowing down as the season has went along as well. Was seeing that total in the high 140s overnight. I took an under, and I'm in on the points with Indiana, seeing that at 11.5.
All right, Greg Peterson, our guest, host of the VSiN Coast to Coast Hoops podcast. He's on the Progressive Guest Line. You have a best bet overall tonight before we get into tomorrow's card.
I think that we've got a very interesting slate of Metro Atlantic action, and I'm going to take a low total under here. You've got Merrimack versus Siena. These two teams are really looking to play slugs right now. These two teams are outside the top 355 in terms of total possessions per game. You've got a Siena group that has traveled really well. Top 25 team in the country in terms of turnovers generated on a per possession basis away from them. Merrimack, they're always a team that generates turnovers. Top 35 team with that regard as well. So not only do you have a slow game, you've got a game that is going to feature a lot of dead possessions as well. Now, both teams shoot it quite well at the free throw line. That's going to help you out a little bit if you do have a bit of a tighter game. But with seeing that total overnight, 131.5, 132.5, I felt like that total should have been more in the 120s. Right now, it's up to about a 134. I like that under in Siena versus Merrimack.
Very good. Okay, let's move into tomorrow's schedule, which is awesome. The marquee game certainly is Michigan playing Duke. That's in Washington, D.C. Odd to have a non-conference neutral court game this late in the season, but here we are. The number one team in the country is Michigan. They're laying 2.5. Total is 148.5. What do you make of it?
I set my number at a 2.5 as well, so I'm going to be waiting to see if we get a little bit of line movement. I have yet to bet the side personally because this is right now right on my number. That said, I do like the over here. Semi-total at a 150.5 because if it is as close as we are thinking this game is going to be with a 2.5 point spread, you have to think that there's going to be a little bit of late game fouling, and this is a Michigan team that is playing super up-tempo. They're a top 30 team in the country in terms of total possessions per game. And it's not like it's a Michigan team that's going out there launching a bunch of threes. They're built around their low post play. You've got Adey Mara, Yaxel Lundeborg and company. And that's the same thing for Duke. Duke is typically a team that has really explosive guards, what have you, but they've been looking a little bit more down low with Cameron Boozer really being the primary facilitator for this team. So I do think that with you having just really consistent low post play on both sides, both of these teams are going to be able to find some buckets on the inside. I think that Michigan is going to be looking to play at a very fast pace. So I do like the over. And by the way, I will say, you just mentioned it, very odd to have a non-conference game this late in the year. How good are the schedule makers to think, oh, this is going to be a top five game right here?
Yeah.
Because typically we would not get this sort of a matchup. So for me personally, this is a real treat.
Yeah, another no one. Doubt. Okay, sorry. How about another one? Houston 5.5 at home to Arizona.
I'm going to be willing to take the points with Arizona. I set this line at 2.5. I recognize that things have been less than tremendous for Arizona over the last week or so. They failed to cover that game against BYU. They take the pair of losses. But you've also got a Houston team coming off of a massive heartbreak on Monday. It looked like they had that game in the bag against Iowa State. And if you like me at 2.5 points with Houston, you're wishing that they would have grabbed that rebound on the missed free throw because that costed you a cover. So that was pretty disgusting to say the least. But for Arizona, they're able to do a nice job down low. And I think that that's actually something that's a misnomer with Houston. Houston, always a good team with regards to their post play, but this year they've been outside the top 125 in terms of defensive rebound percentage. They're allowing teams to grab over 27.5% of their missed shots as an offensive rebound. Meanwhile, you've got Toby Awaka, Montevis Krivas, who are able to give you a combined 17 to 18 rebounds per game. Arizona is not a team that looks to shoot a lot of threes, but when they do need to pop them, they're pretty solid with Jaden Bradley and company. I think that Arizona is going to be able to hold in there. So I'm willing to take the points with Arizona. And I saw that total come out like a high 130s overnight. This is starting to creep up as we're doing this, like a 140, 141. But so long as we can keep this below 142, I also like that over.
Very good. In like 30 seconds here, is there something amiss with UConn?
I think the biggest thing is they don't do one thing great and they don't have that go-to low post player like a Donovan Klingon back in the day. Everything about this team is solid, but there's nothing truly amazing about them. And I think that they need solo ball to get back to how he was shooting from three-point range last season. Last season shot 40% from three, closer to 30%. If he can find it, UConn could become a title contender, in my opinion. If he doesn't, I think that this is going to be a good but not great team.
Great stuff. You can follow Greg on X. He's at GUnit_81. Yeah. And the Coast to Coast VSiN podcast as well, talking college basketball every single day. Greg, awesome. Thank you. Best of luck this weekend.
Always appreciate it, gentlemen. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Up next, we will try to make sense of the NBA betting card that we have. Day two now, Tankathon, after the post All-Star break is here. And we'll update the USA game and what the number looks like against Canada on Sunday next.
Is Follow the Money on VSEN.
6-2 final, wire-to-wire, bloodbath, Canada, all over Slovakia.
So USA, now, USA.
What did I say?
You said Canada.
No, USA all over, I'm looking ahead to Sunday, USA all over Slovakia. So those two teams now will meet on Sunday in the gold medal match. That's at 8:10 a.m. Eastern time, 5:10 out here in the West Coast. FanDuel did have Canada minus 111 when we talked about it a half an hour ago, and USA minus 108. They have moved it now 2 cents. Canada's minus 113. DK holding steady at minus 125 on Team Canada there. Total is 5.5 at FanDuel.
DK as well.
Okay.
Yep.
You like the
under minus 155 at DK.
Okay. Your initial thoughts is that you like the under in that one.
Yep.
How about that? It was nothing came easy, really, in the Olympics.
That one was easy.
Until today.
But that was, yeah, right. That ended the streak of, number one, all these tight games / overtime games going back. So, great job. It was over early. The only chance they gave them was take ridiculous penalties. They settled down after the first period. They also got a soft one to start, but opened it up. Then a couple soft goals. Goalie change, that was all she wrote.
Mm-hmm.
Now, hang on. So, more on this with Linda Cohen coming up and who she likes in the matchup and also who has the goaltending edge. She was a goalie. I want to get her thoughts on that, too. But I say under 5.5 Sunday morning.
Tonight's NBA card, some of these numbers have been all over the map. That's going to be the case here, especially early out of the gates.
Boy, you got to – this is so hard. But you got to take Memphis, don't you? Utah's doing this again. No, George. Markkanen's got the flu. Nurkic out. I mean, this is going to be tough here. We're going to have to do this for 2 months. But
well, for the Grizzlies, though, there's no Edie. There's no Ty Jerome. There's no Morant still. There's no Coward. How about a guy that I was making a case for when he was hot a couple of weeks back? His points total tonight is 16.5. Cam Spencer tonight. It's going to be like, okay,
yeah,
one of those areas where, young fella, go out there. There's no Ty Jerome tonight. If you want to shoot the ball 28 times, feel free.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe to look at him. I feel burned still from the neat Clifford prop last night. So I'm definitely treading lightly here with these teams that are just rubbing it right in our faces. Like they don't care about any of it.
Yeah.
Don't want to win.
Well, the Indiana-Washington game's tough too. With these two tanking teams going against each other and 228. So nightmare for these teams because someone's got to win. How about your Hornets? Tough loss yesterday. At home against Houston, back-to-back. Now they take on Cleveland, who had an easy time of it against the Nets. Cleveland, 5.5. So they try to keep this run going. 229.5 the total. Ball says he's okay, even though he was shook up with the car accident.
Okay, so the point spread, there's no Mobley tonight for Cleveland. They opened up 4.5 was the first number that I saw. I saw that number move to 6.5, then back to 6, and now down to 5. I think Cleveland just wins the game outright.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Charlotte beats them.
That seems aggressive, this line.
So, yeah, I don't want to lay the points.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of want to parlay Cleveland on a money line bet. And I think the Lakers would make sense because of back-to-back with the Clippers. And that's better than even money.
All right. Mitchell, 6-1, underrun with the rebounds. Check that out, all the props. And the streaks at VSiN.com with the NBA prop analyzer.
Now, Knipple, 3 threes last night.
Now, this is getting juicy because would they really do this? And I know Kelly Bidlin and the guys got into it on the podcast about could they, what's the word, tank away Cooper Flagg's Rookie of the Year award. Number one, Knipple has an argument. He's playing so well. Outlined the case where how many, he could set the record for threes. And
will soon.
Okay, and Flagg's not going to play tonight. So how many times are they just going to say, we don't want this, we're not going to play the guy, and they're going to continue to sit him, as he was as high as $7.
Okay, so when I looked before the show, you could still find Weapons Con at 5-1.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit better than that. Is that number worth it, because then you have to have that one banked away until at least the middle of April. Remember, the NBA is very strange how they present the awards. You don't know what night it's coming. They announce it down the road, but and it's one at a time. So it's not like there's ever been an award show like the NFL does it, where they wait a couple of days before the Super Bowl. They just like the first night of the playoffs. Here you go. Here's Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah. Is that a big deal, though? Is that does flag the Mavs care? Because Utah's just going to, not that he was going to win it, but Utah has torpedoed any chance George has.
Sure.
Because he's out again.
Right. But I mean, if you're Cooper Flagg, I think that you would care about that kind of thing. But on the flip side, I think maybe it is worth it to take Knipple at 5-1 if that's going to be the game plan and Flagg's going to be, you know, a soldier.
Yeah.
Say, okay, I'm hurt. Yeah.
Or, yes.
I got the flu again tonight. Right. Not good.
And Charlotte makes the playoffs.
For sure.
That's right. That's a strong case. I think it's worth a flyer.
And I know Bontemps was talking about this on the Hoop Collective podcast this week. Like, and he was pointing out that Flagg season obviously has been outstanding. So has Con Knipple. And there is a strong path here where that's going to continue on. By the way, it was a rough loss for them last night. And then the Magic won and the Hawks won, so not good. But if the Hornets were to pull off that division, like, I again, it's NBA voters. I don't know how much stock they would put into that. But if the key here is how many games the Mavericks are going to decide to say, Cooper Flagg, you're done, pal.
Right. That's why the NBA MVP is so intriguing about what's going to happen with the games missed and how many you have to play.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, you know, because look at what they're doing tonight. Minnesota, an enormous favorite now. As Flagg's out, you still have three other guys questionable. And to me, it's got to be Marshall over points for Dallas with the props.
God, Minnesota's up to 14.
Higher than that in some spots.
Isn't this
15
the spot?
And a half at DraftKings.
15 and a half?
Yeah.
Isn't this the spot where you want to actually be on the other team? Isn't this the team that Minnesota takes lightly?
Yeah.
And despite Dallas not playing any of their best players, Marshall's really good, so, but you know what I'm saying. We've seen this before over the years with this core of Minnesota players where it's like, okay, they can beat Oklahoma City by 14, yeah. And then three nights later, the perfect example was the Jazz game.
Well, the other thing, too, the line, the total moved 4 or 5 points. It's up to 239 and a half.
That keeps going.
So I think this is the one that we're going to play fast. We're tanking to make sure we don't win and get blown out.
Yeah, they want to have a zillion possessions in this game.
Yeah, and that's why he keep coming back to Marshall props, too, who can score. And I would think he gets at least 19 points for Dallas. And the list is growing about guys who are going to miss with Martin. And I don't think Christie's playing either. With Martin and Gafford, questionable, too.
Right. How about the Nuggets game tonight, back-to-back? By the way, did you see how they lost that game? Murray went to the free throw line and won 115-114 with like a second left, and he missed the free throw. Otherwise, we get overtime there. And now, look at this. The Nuggets opened up 4.5 last night after that game was over with. And Portland is now a 1.5-point favorite. That total is 240, and there's no Shaden Sharp tonight for the Blazers.
Mm-hmm. Portland's playing well. I think they get him. But if you read Mackinnon's article at VSiN.com, Portland, all his NBA tidbits and notes, 17-5 overrun when they're favored. So that is now in play here.
Very nice.
With the big move. And the came down now. Okay, Lakers 6.5 against the Clippers. So you're going to get you're supposed to get a healthy Reeves and a healthy Luka tonight against the Clippers in that fantastic comeback win when Mathurin poured in 38.
By the way, there was a good point by, I don't remember who I saw on X point this out, but I think it was in the Clippers front office. They said, hey, let's not forget Mathurin is a guy who scored 29 points in an NBA Finals game.
Mm-hmm.
Like the guy can play.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was phenomenal at Arizona.
Yep.
And it looked like he was going to be a walking bucket in the NBA. Hasn't exactly lived up to it, but he's had moments, and last night was probably like his career highlight.
Yep. Other props going to this Milwaukee game with the Tank Fest against New Orleans. New Orleans laying 4.5. Porter on an 18-8 overrun assists. Zach Cohen made the case for Porter over assists today in his article, which is strong. And Cam Thomas, 8 straight under his rebound prop tonight against the Pelicans. Bucks in action. Baseball season here, and if you're betting MLB, don't step up to the plate unprepared. The new VSiN MLB betting guide is fantastic and out now in your playbook for the entire season. Team previews, deep dive into whether money really buys championships, MVP and Cy Young awards analysis, every betting insight from the team and the player perspective from former pitcher and VSiN host Jensen Lewis. It's yours for $19.99 or become a VSiN Pro subscriber and get the guide included, along with every best bet, every host, every guest in the betting splits, AI-powered prop tools, VSiN.com/guide, VSiN.com/guide.
LeBron downgraded to a questionable in the game tonight.
All right, there's your move. Yeah. It was up to 8.5.
Up to 8.5, now down to 6.5. All right. Longtime friend of the show and the network, Bruce Marshall, on the program. You know that he has, he likes to get dirty with some of the bad teams in college basketball. We'll get his best bets for tonight and look at tomorrow's card as well. Coming up on Follow the Money, it's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.